Thank you, Andrew. Let us, it's good to see everybody. Let us pray. Ask the Lord for help. Our great God, our loving Father, we are so blessed. We are truly the most blessed people in all the world as we come into thy presence of such a holy God as your children by faith in your Son. Children of God by faith in your Son. Thank you, Father. You care for us. You're a good Father. And we thank you most of all for your Son, the Lord Jesus. It is so wonderful that we're accepted in him, the Beloved, in whom we can have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we have access into your presence in his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a cross for the sins of the whole world, and to as many as receive him, you give them the right to become a child of God. So we pray for everyone here today that we would draw nearer to you, learn more about your Son, Father, and that if we don't know you as our Savior, Lord Jesus, that today would be our day, that we believe God and be gloriously saved and love your Son and thank your Son and worship your Son forever and ever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. I'd like to start in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And, I struggled this morning whether I was going to go here or not. I think the Lord would have us look at Mark's Gospel and... Pardon? Oh. Thank you. I don't know if that's going to stay. Mark's Gospel, and I think I want to plan on going through the Gospel of Mark, because I have responsibility to speak as the Lord leads. And for myself personally, sometimes as a believer, the life of faith can be tough, and we can wander, and we can fall away. The Lord's always pursuing us, and I find it very profitable for me when I feel dry to go back to the Gospels. And read about the Lord Jesus. And this is, so whether you're a believer or a non-believer, what we want to see and learn about and know is the Lord Jesus. And so I want to just, it's about him. So verse 1 of chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye, and believe the gospel. We'll stop there. I don't know how far into chapter 1 we'll go today, but we'll stop there, and we'll look at these first 15 verses, and then, Lord willing, we'll go on. And like I said, the gospel of Mark, probably the earliest gospel that was written, written by a man named John Mark. His mother's name was Mary, and she lived in Jerusalem. Probably had some means, and he was a son, the nephew of Barnabas. He traveled with Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, and he left. He departed from them. He didn't go on. That caused problems between Barnabas and Paul later on. Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark, and Paul would not bring him because he had left them. So it's interesting that he's the one that's writing about the Gospel of Mark. He was restored later on, and Paul would say he was profitable for the service, for the ministry. The Gospel of Mark, Matthew is the Gospel of the King. Mark, the servant, the perfect servant. Luke, that perfect man. John, the Son of God. Four different views of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, the Son of God, is presented. Luke, that perfect man, depending on his God. Matthew, the coming king. And Mark is the servant, the perfect servant. Mark chapter 10, kind of a, I don't know what you would want to call it. This is the verse that maybe we can bring out that you know, I'm not, you know, people say, oh, this is the book of the servant. I mean, well, why is it called that? Well, Mark chapter 10, this is a time when two of the Lord Jesus' disciples, James and John, they want to come to the Lord and ask him for something. And they want to sit in the kingdom when he sets up his kingdom on the right hand and on the left hand. And so they're coming to the Lord and asking him for that. The Lord says in verse 40 of chapter 10, But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but for whom it is prepared. When the ten heard it, the other disciples heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. In verse 42, Mark chapter 10, Jesus called unto them and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. Everything is the opposite in the kingdom of God. You know, it's the opposite. He says, "It's not. This is not among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister or your servant." You want to be great? Be a servant. Whosoever shall be the chiefest, number one, shall be a servant of all. Two different words for servant there. One is a minister or a servant. We are all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have been given a gift, and we are to minister. We're to minister unto the Lord. We're to minister to one another, serve one another. And so that's the first one in verse 43. In verse 44, you want to be chief, you're to be the servant of all. That's a bond servant. That's different. A bond servant is serving his master. Whatever his master says, that's what he does. His a good bond servant. If his master says do this, he does it. He's anticipating whatever his master to say he wants to do. He wants to do it, and that's a difference than the minister in verse 43. Verse 45 says, and this is the verse I wanted to get to. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered, or not to be served, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Even the Son of Man, he who came from the glory, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Now, the difference of being a bondservant, he was not a bondservant to men. Not at all. He came to serve men. He was a bondservant to his God. Philippians chapter 2 will talk about him. Although he was Almighty God, he didn't hold on to that. Let me read it so I don't misquote it. Philippians chapter 2, you don't have to turn to it, you know this. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a bondservant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Didn't have to read all that, but I like that. I really do. Every one of us every person is going to bow down and confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. But he became a bondservant unto his God. That's why he would say, not my will, but thine be done. He had his own will. His own will was to do his Father's will, and whatever his Father told him to do, he with joy he did it. He was under that authority of a master. But he wasn't under the authority of men. When the Pharisees said to him, you know, give us a sign, he didn't obey them. He came to serve, but he wasn't obeying them. He was only a bondservant to his God, but he came to serve. And this is what Mark's gospel is all about, the servant, the perfect servant. Over 40 times you read a word, and it's different words. It's translated in the King James, like straightway and forthwith and anon. They're words that mean immediately. Over 40 times you'll read of our Lord, immediately he did this, immediately he did this. There's a word, the word and. It's like a connecting word. It's over 1,200 times in the Gospel of Mark. And it's like, if you go through it, you just turn any page, you'll see. And most of the time it's to him. And he did this, and he said this, and he did this, and he did this. It's just this continual life of service in the Gospel of Mark of our Lord Jesus. He's that perfect servant. Isaiah 42. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. The book of Isaiah is sometimes people refer to it as the fifth gospel. It so clearly speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ coming. He comes as that servant. He comes in Isaiah 53, and it speaks of him dying for us. There's judgment throughout the book of Isaiah, but always with that promise of the deliverer. In Isaiah 42:1, God is speaking, and he says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights." We just read in Mark's gospel about when heaven opened and God the Father looking down from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom is all my pleasure." The Son was the servant, and God's soul delighted in him. And he says, "I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment or justice to the Gentiles." We won't read on, but it's all about the servant, the one that's going to come and be the deliverer. That's who Mark is talking about. That's who Mark is talking about here. So he's that perfect servant of Jehovah, and it brings that servitude out. going back to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. Good news. Do you want some good news? Everybody should be coming in to hear the good news, right? I mean, we have our phones, we have the newspaper, the news, you watch it. Is there good news? It's just like bad news after bad news after bad news. This is a troubled world, a troubled world. Wars, rumors of wars, murders, rapes, what they're doing to children, rebellion, people fighting each other, arguing all the time. It's a lot of bad news out there. The gospel is good news. You want good news? This is good news. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This whole book, he is the gospel. He's the gospel. He's the good news. It's him. He's the Son of God. We see that, so this whole book, Mark's gospel, they call it the gospel of Mark, is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the gospel. He is the good news. The gospel, right? What is the gospel? We could read in 1 Corinthians how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Paul said, this is the gospel by which you can be saved. Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again according to the scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He's right now at the right hand of the majesty on high, waiting. And he's coming back, and he's going to judge this world. He's going to remove everything that offends him. But he's long-suffering. He's waiting because he's not willing that any would perish. The gospel. We're going to be looking more at the gospel. But that's the gospel for our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's him. In this book of Mark, you know, we read in verse 14 of Mark. We'll go back to verse 2 in a moment. But Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what did he say? Verse 15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. We're going to talk more about repentance in a moment. But repent and believe the gospel. That's a command from God. Repent. Believe the gospel. In Acts it says we have repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, belief. Putting our faith in Him. We'll talk about repentance. It means change your mind. So if you're here today and you're not saved and you haven't believed the gospel, whatever you're trusting in, change your mind, believe God, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we'll talk about that later. At the end of Mark's gospel, this is the first thing the Lord preaches. Repent and believe the gospel. We're going to look at John in a moment, John the Baptist. The first thing he preached was repent. Peter, the first thing Peter preached was repent. First thing Paul preached was repent. So it's really important. We want to understand what that means. And we want to repent and believe the gospel if we have it. So here's the command in the beginning of his ministry. Repent and believe the gospel. At the end of the gospel of Mark, the last thing our Lord Jesus says, chapter 16, verse 15, this is what he starts saying, and the last things he says. He says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not is damned. So the message is for us to repent and believe the gospel, and then to go out and preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Matthew 28 says that we're to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So that's the message. This book starts out with the gospel, a command to unbelievers to believe the gospel, and then preach the gospel. Tell others about this. He doesn't need us. He wants to use us, which is amazing. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, perfect servant. So verse 2 of Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, there comes one mightier than I am. After me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So who is this man, this messenger? We refer to him as John the Baptist. He's referred to in all the Gospels. His ministry was a very short ministry. He was a little bit older than the Lord Jesus. He was a son of a priest. He was in the line to be a priest, and yet we find him living in the wilderness. And you could read what he was clothed in and what he ate. He didn't have the luxuries of this world. But he was the forerunner. He was the one chosen to be the one who was going to usher in, point people to Christ. He only had a short ministry. Just a short ministry. Very short. You look at his life and it was like, there's not too much here. There's a lot written about him. He ended up dying in a prison, Herod's prison, with his head cut off. That's how he ended his life. Very short ministry. Did you know what the Lord Jesus said about him? Among women, there was not born any greater than John the Baptist. His ministry was a very short period of time. But if it was of the Lord, right? Whatever the Lord gives us to do, and it says how John fulfilled his ministry. He did it. He did what the Lord had for him. And on this side of the world, it didn't look good, what kind of life was this? Living in the desert, eating locusts and honey, wild honey. None greater. There's no greater prophet born of a woman than John the Baptist. That's what our Lord said about him. What a man he was. And he preached. He preached. It says here, so we have this, it's quoting from the Old Testament. This was all written beforehand that this would happen. Mark, the first book in the New Testament is Matthew, and the last book, if you turn back to Malachi, it's the last book in our Bible from the Old Testament. And we also could have looked at other verses in Isaiah that spoke of John the Baptist coming, and the one preaching, prepare the way. What he was preaching was, he's coming. The one you've been waiting for, hopefully you're waiting for him. There was people that were waiting for him to come the first time because the scripture said it. We'll run into many of them in the New Testament. They were waiting. We're here now preaching. We're preaching that men and women be saved, believe the gospel, but he's coming back. He's coming back. There's men and women right now in this world that are anticipating him coming back. We should be. The Lord says so. And so his first coming, there was people waiting and for his coming, and John saying, he's coming. He's coming. Malachi chapter 3, and this is the Lord speaking. Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So the Lord's speaking. I'm going to send a messenger, and he's going to prepare the way before me. The Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple. And the angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant, that's a title of our Lord Jesus, it's the Christ, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Who may be able to stand his coming? Who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver. He's coming back. And, you know, with the silver, the refiner, they would take the silver and you would burn it until you got rid of all the impurities. He's going to remove everything that offends him when he comes back. Thankfully, this is not the time of judgment yet. It's the time of grace. But this was the promise. He was going to come. He was going to show up in his temple. And so John is coming, and he's telling everybody that these very things that were written in the Old Testament, it's happening. It's here. It's the time. I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John was, in John's gospel, they would come to him and they said, are you him? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Are you? And John would say, no, no, no. And they said, who are you? And he says, I'm just a voice. I am just a voice. And that's all we are today, right? I can't save anybody. Nobody here can save anybody. We can't heal you. We can't whatever. But we can point you to him. That's all we're doing. Just a voice pointing you to the Lord Jesus. That's all John was. And he says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and he preached. And that preaching was with authority. It is to be heard and obeyed. When God's word is spoken, it is the word of the Lord. And we are to debate whether it's true or not, or debate whether I'm going to believe it or not. The word of God is to be believed. There is no patting yourself on the back for believing God. You are supposed to believe God. It is the most foolish thing not to believe God. He would never lie to you. He always tells the truth. And John preached, and people, and you know what? It's not about, it's with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It's the word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot resist God. I mean, you can, but it is foolish. It is foolish. And John preached with the power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he preached repentance for the remission of sins. Again, I said we were going to talk about repentance. This baptism was, he's coming, repent, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. We have now believer's baptism. Okay, and what we do now, our baptism that we have now, that is taught in the New Testament, is once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, and you put your faith in him, what really happened to you is all your sins were on the cross, and you died with Christ, and you were buried spiritually. This happened. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you rose from the dead, and you're alive forevermore with God. And so when we put our faith, the Lord commands us to be baptized. If you're a believer and you're not been baptized, ask about it. The Lord wants you to be baptized, and it's a public statement of what spiritually happened to you. This isn't the baptism that we're talking about here. This is the baptism of repentance. This is John preached this, that he's coming, so get ready, get ready. And people would come out, and it wasn't the baptism, it wasn't going into water that saved them. They confessed their sins. They agreed with God. They repented. I said I was going to talk about repentance. It's changing your mind. You know, there's people that think, I go to church, I read my Bible, I'm a good person, I try to keep the Ten Commandments, that's going to get me to heaven. No. Change your mind. God says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death, separation from God forever. So you got to, whatever you're trusting in, before I was saved, I was trusting in maybe it's not true. Maybe it just isn't true. I'm just going to make believe it's not true. Other people trusted in their goodness or whatever. And I had to change my mind. And I had to believe what God said. And I remember the day I'm in my car and I'm thinking, if God became a man and died on a cross for my sin, and I would have said I believe that, but I didn't really believe it because it would have changed my life. And I'm thinking about that. And I said, I do believe it. I really do believe that. And I'm like, I got to do something about that. You got to do something about that. That really happened. Thankfully, I didn't get saved right then, but it was very shortly after that I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. So I changed my mind and I agreed with God. And that's the same thing they're doing here. That's how everybody is saved. In the Old Testament, it was by faith. Believe in God, changing your mind, believe in God, and putting your faith in Him. And when you do that, you're saved. Saved forever and ever. So in the book of Acts, God, chapter 17, verse 30, it says that God commands everybody to repent. It's a command of God. Repent. Acts 16 says, the man says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the command. The command is to repent and believe. That's what God says. Maybe if you don't understand that just ask God to help you understand it. He wants you to be saved so bad. He died for you. Those are commands. And the result, you'll be saved. Safe forever and ever. And so John's preaching this baptism of repentance. They confess their sins. He says in verse 8, verse 5 says they all came out. People came out from Judea and Jerusalem and they were all baptized. It seems like everybody was saved, right? He says, I indeed have baptized you with water. In verse 8, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But the other Gospels gives us a little more information on this. And you can read it in Luke or Mark chapter 3. There was ones that came. They heard this message. We'll look at Matthew chapter 3. So there was many of them that came. It's pretty much the same account that Mark gives. Chapter 3, verse 6, they were baptized of him into Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 7 says, but when he, speaking of John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to be our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge this floor and gather wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. When our Lord Jesus speaks about him baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, he baptizes the church into the Holy Spirit. The church is in the Spirit, is in the Holy Spirit. It's when the church was born on the day of Pentecost in Acts. And also the Holy Spirit in you. And each individual believer, the Holy Spirit will come and live within you. That's salvation. But if you won't have him, the only thing left is unquenchable fire. It's a lost eternity in the lake of fire. And And these people here, they came, and they were religious people. You know, they would have said they believed much of this stuff. They didn't believe in the Lord Jesus, but he said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. There's many people that say, I'm a Christian, and this and that. And you look at their lives, and nothing's ever changed in their life. He's saying, there should be a life lived that's worthy of what has happened to you. How could you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit of God come in you, and you live the same way you used to live? Nothing's changed. You know, we don't know the heart, but he does. But there should be fruit. There should be fruit. We'll go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 9 now. It comes to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, did the Lord Jesus, did he need to be baptized into the baptism of repentance? Did he need to confess his sins? No, of course not. He tells in John's gospel, John's looking at him going, I need to be baptized by you. And he said, for the righteousness' sake, let it be done. And he, as identifying with us, and when he came into this world, he identified with us. So he takes our place, right? And so this is a picture of what's going to happen to him. And as he took our sins, and he gave us his righteousness. And so he then comes and is baptized in the Jordan. And verse 10 says, straightway, or immediately, as he comes up out of the water, he saw, and I think that's John saw, the heavens open. They were rent. They were torn apart. The heavens just separated. It says the Spirit, like a dove, and it wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove, so how can somehow understand this, and descended upon the Lord Jesus. So he had the Son of God, and he's being baptized, and the Spirit of God comes down from heaven and descends upon him, and then we have the voice from heaven, verse 11. And it says in Mark's gospel, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark's gospel that says, this is my beloved Son. So the others could hear, but this was like for the Lord Jesus himself. The Father saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have the Son of God, the Spirit of God coming and abiding upon him, the word from heaven. We had a voice from the wilderness, from man, pointing him out. Now we have the voice from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom is all my pleasure. Thinking back in Isaiah 42, when he said, behold, my servant, in whom is all my pleasure. So the Holy Spirit coming on the Lord Jesus, and then it says immediately in verse 12, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Satan didn't bring him into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit brought him into the wilderness. Now, that's interesting. Here's the Son of God, and why the Spirit of God comes on him. John says that I'll look at John's gospel for a second. As John the Baptist gives his account, John the Baptist didn't know who the Messiah was at first. He came, he had a mission to preach that the Messiah was coming, but he didn't know who he was. John chapter 1, he points out now, and he's given a testimony, right? He points out the Lord Jesus when he comes. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He goes on, verse 31 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest in Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And verse 32 says, John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But, and so John's mission, John was told, when you see this, this is the one. And he said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining, abiding. This Holy Spirit was at home in our Lord Jesus Christ. The same as he which baptized in the Holy Spirit. And John says in verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. He was given that to point out him, the one who he was. Now, again, why would this be? Now, when we believe, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit can't come and permanently live inside of us in our sins at all. The Old Testament, he would come on a person for a short period of time for a purpose. But now we have the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And what's the requirement of our lives now? We have the potential. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God living in us, that we can live a life that pleases God. The Lord Jesus was the only one, my beloved Son, in whom is all my pleasure. And so he now is at the right hand of God as our high priest. Everything we've gone through down here, he knows about it. It's like he went through it with us, and he's able then to help us to get out of it, or to not go down the path that would displease God. And so everything he did, just like when he was baptized, it was identifying with us. As the Spirit of God came on him, he let the Spirit of God lead him. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God lead us. Not to be filled with wrath and anger and jealousy. I mean, when you're filled with something, controlled by something, you act a certain way. And it's not pleasant. If you're controlled by fear, anger, wrath, jealousy, you do things you wish you never did after. But if you're filled with the Spirit of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, you can bring glory to the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus is helping us now as a high priest. And so he himself just humbled himself and let the Holy Spirit of God come in him and lead him. First thing he did was lead him into the wilderness and be tempted as Satan. He wasn't tempted like to sin. It was a proving of him. You know, Satan doesn't know everything, right? He knows some, the scriptures, he twists them, he uses them, trying to, just like he deceived Eve, he used a little bit of the scriptures, some truth, some lies, but he doesn't know everything, he's not everywhere. I think when heaven opened up and said, "This is my beloved Son," he got Satan's attention. Now he knows the one. And this is from Genesis 3, chapter 3, the promised seed that was going to destroy Satan. So the battle now is going to escalate. And Satan takes him on. Now Satan does not want him to go to that cross, and we don't have a recording of the temptation, what happened. Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, you can read about them. But as that, and again, the Lord Jesus did not use his deity. Okay, as that perfect man being tempted of the devil, he used the Word of God, and that's what we do. It is written. It is written. It is written. We have the Word of God. This is our guide. So no matter what comes, this is what God's Word said. We stay with that, and it's going to be a protection for us. And we have the Spirit of God in us to lead us, to open our eyes to these things. So our Lord Jesus, it was proving that who he was. This is my beloved Son. And it was all my pleasure. And then Satan wanted him to fail. Go outside the will of God. Don't do what God says. And our Lord Jesus did not fail. It proved that he was the Son of God. It proved that he was the perfect servant. And he passed the test, which of course we knew he would. But it showed. It proved that he was who he said he was. And he used "it is written." It is written. He was in the wilderness 40 days. We don't have all the recording of it. 40 days without food. He fasted. While he went through there, no matter what we're going through, no matter what, sometimes you feel, and I think probably most of the time it's not Satan. Sometimes people say, "Oh, Satan's doing this to me and doing this to me." Satan probably doesn't even know who they are. You know, many times it's our own flesh or our desires in the world, but we feel pressed. You know, it's us. It's us. No matter what we go through and what our Lord went through, and he came out perfect, he's going to help us. It's according to the Word of God. He's going to help us. So he was tempted in a wild beast. And then it says in verse 13, and this is, he was tempted of Satan for those 40 days. It says he was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, when we look at that in English, and it's just, okay, so he was out in the wilderness. It's not like a jungle or anything. It's barrenness. But there's these wild animals there, you know, jackals or boars or hyenas, I don't know. So you always read that and think like, it's like, well, this is a terrifying thing. All these wild animals are there. But But it's not, you know, this is just kind of neat. It's really, that word means like he's together with the wild beasts. He was their creator. I don't know if they were a comfort to him, maybe. They didn't harm him, but he was with them. And I think about him when he rode in on that donkey. And never a man rode on that donkey. Coming into fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, when he rode into Jerusalem as their king, that donkey had never been ridden before. You know, they need to be broken, right? You just don't just jump on an animal that never had been ridden before. They don't like it very much. But that had to be that donkey was calm and just rode in with his creator on his back. You know, I think that the wild beasts, they know who he is. They know who he is. And I don't know, I've changed my mind of what was actually going on. Like, it wasn't a fearful thing. He was amongst his creation, and they probably recognized him as a creator. And then it says the angels ministered unto him. Matthew tells us that it was after Satan's temptation. 40 days fasting. And then it says, and Satan left him, and the angels came and ministered to him. Again, for our sake, Hebrews tells us that the angels are ministering spirits to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation. There is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and women. We know our Lord Jesus talked about the children, and he said, their angel always beholds the face of my Father. There's demons out there. They hate us. They hate the Lord Jesus, but thank God for good angels. And the local assembly, I think it speaks of, you know, Paul says to Timothy, you know, I charge you before God, even our Savior, and the elect angels. There's angels watching what goes on here. Most people going by might not think anything of us, right? But the angels are watching what's going on here. And the angels are ministering unto those who will be heirs of salvation. The spiritual battle for your soul. How many times have we been saved by an angel? We don't even know. You know, from destruction, whatever, right? You know, I'm driving down the road and I'm going to make a right-hand turn and I'm looking this way and I turn and there's a little child coming right here. And I stopped and it was like, you know, was that an angel ministering to me? I mean, I don't know. But they minister to the Lord Jesus and they minister to us. You know, here's the Son of God, but angels ministered unto him. I don't know how they ministered to him, but they did. So I got to verse 15. I'm going to stop. I'm going to look at these verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. When John's ministry ended and he was put in prison, now our Lord did minister before that, and there was people that believed on him and followed him. There were some that followed John, and then they followed the Lord Jesus. But now his public ministry, now John was fulfilled, and he's put aside. And now our Lord, for 3.5 years, we talk about his public ministry, and that's recorded in the Gospels. For 3.5 years, and we have, I'm going to stop here, but just to go through the rest of the chapter, just briefly, I will go back to this, but he called his disciples unto himself, and then we had and this is for your reading, maybe down the line, you can read through this, from verse 21 to verse 39, and I talked about this before, that's like a 24-hour day in the life of our Lord Jesus. He was here for 3.5 years. This would have been these things would have been similar to what the Lord Jesus was doing, and especially in Mark's gospel as a servant. You could read through all he did in one day, It talks about many, many people were possessed with demons, and he delivered them. They had diseases, and he healed them. And it was many, 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 many of them. And he didn't just do it like standing over here and seeing a whole bunch of people on a hill and saying, okay, you're all healed. He didn't do it. We have the story of the leper at the end of chapter 1, and it shows the one-on-one contact he had with each of them. Every one of those people that he healed had their day when it was him and them. And he cared for them. you know, the leper that was with leprosy touched him. He didn't have to touch him. You would have been unclean by touching a leper, but he touched him. You know, that personal touch. Every single person that is saved today, they had their time. It was them and the Lord, all by themselves. Every one of those people. So it's we don't get all the details all the time, but we just have one of his days, then we have all these people saved, and then we have the one leper, just that personal touch, that one-on-one, which every one of those people would have had with him. And just as if you're saved, you had that day with him. And it was you and him. It could have been in a huge crowd, but you and him all alone. And there was a day that he and you got together and you believed God and were saved. It's marvelous. Marvelous. John's Gospel, we'll just end with this. And Lord willing, we'll continue. But John's Gospel, it ends with this. There are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And he's still doing it. You know, he's still doing it. So if you're here today and you don't know him, believe God today. Repent and believe the gospel. And as we go through this book, I hope that it would be, that we would all get to know him more. Have that personal daily contact with him. He so desires it. That's a prayer. So let us close. Father, we're so thankful as we have the privilege of opening your word, and we'll begin to consider your servant, your son, your servant, to whom is all your pleasure. And Lord, we want him to be our pleasure, all our pleasure. There's so many things in this world that distract us from him. Father, many of these things are good things that he gives us to enjoy, but not without him. Lord, thank you that you desire to be with us. You long to be with us. Every single person you created, you love. You want to be with them. And you want to share your life with them and your glory with them. So I pray, Father, that everyone in this room and anyone who's listening online, and just even help us to be faithful and remembering our friends and family members that don't know you, that we pray that they would believe God, be gloriously saved, love your son, thank your son, and worship your son forever and ever. We pray this in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.